Welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio here on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo in studio with producer Chad Ellis. And once again, joining us on the phone as he travels incognito throughout this great land, searching for injustice and stopping bad guys every chance he gets in secret, my friend Aaron Tarlow.
Oh, I thought I was going to be like Superman or something for a second.
Well, we can talk to you in your normal identity now, but people that, you know, when you save them in the middle of the night, you know, like halfway across the country, they don't have to know. They don't know who you are.
So I actually got a kind of a funny story about that. We went to a fire call one day, and so we get there, you know, and we get the guy, and they've transported him out, and I'm walking out, and he's with some of his friends, and the one guy goes, "Don't I know you from somewhere?" And I was like, "I don't know, maybe." And he goes, "Yeah, you work up at Southern Armory, don't you?" "Yeah, I do. You made me." Okay.
So, that's awesome.
All in good fun.
That's awesome. So, yeah, so let's talk about Southern Armory for a minute. Aaron is the owner of Southern Armory. Talk about the shop. I know you got some big sales coming up. We are right around the corner from Thanksgiving and Black Friday. I know that's a big deal for you guys. So what is happening at Southern Armory?
Yeah, so we've geared up. We've got a bunch of stuff on hand. And, you know, we love Black Friday. So we love giving away classes. So when you buy a gun, we want to get you in on an educational class. You have a choice. You can get a CCW class. People are probably like, "I already have my CCW." Well, if you haven't taken a CCW class in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, there's been some changes to the law, and you should probably know what they are. Especially back 2017 when we had Stand Your Ground added in addition to the Castle Doctrine. So one of the trick questions I ask in class is, do we have Castle Doctrine in the state or do we have Stand Your Ground? And you get a mix of answers, but nobody ever says both, because we do legitimately have both. So if you already have your CCW class, you got it recently, or you don't want to take it again, we give you an advanced pistol class. And that advanced pistol class is one of my favorite classes. This is 5 to 6 hours, and we shoot. And we shoot a lot. We take you out to our private range so we can give you good instruction. We keep the class sizes small. We try to have one instructor for 2 students. And then if the class gets a little bit bigger, like we have 4 to 6 students, we will add a second instructor in. So that way it's more of a one-on-one. We can rotate you through the stages a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. And we teach you draws, which sounds simple. But if you've never done it before, you wouldn't know necessarily to sweep or pull your shirt out of the way. And then you wouldn't know exactly how to position the gun, because if you're right up on the target, you don't want to present the gun like you do when you're at the gun range. You know, you don't want to stick it out, because what are they going to do? Just grab it. Mm-hmm. So we also go over some malfunctions like failure to feed, failure to extract, failure to fire, and how to fix those. We go over stove pipes. So it's a really, really neat class from the aspect of, you know, when things go bad, how do you fix the gun? And then we start moving you out to distance. Once we get you moved out to distance, now the name of the game is, you know, good trigger control, good sight picture, and alignment of your sights, and then kind of knowing how that bullet is going to drop. So we challenge you, and people always love the class. We love teaching it. So those are the 2 ways you can get into those classes for free: by buying a gun on Friday and Black Friday weekend. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Saturday, Jessica came up with a great way to do Small Business Saturday. Small Business Saturday, you're going to come in, you're going to pop a balloon, and the balloon could say save X number of dollars off a gun, save, you know, this off of a holster or ammo or whatever. So she's going to do a bunch of balloons up. You'll come in, you'll pop it, and then there'll be, you know, a gift certificate in there or a coupon in there that you're able to use on some stuff.
That's cool.
That's another neat one we're doing.
Yeah.
Cyber Monday. So we're closed on Mondays, as the audience probably already knows. Closed on Mondays. So we are going to do a cyber sale on classes. and it's going to be 50% off on classes. So if you can't make it in, or you don't need a gun, or you've got a gun but you haven't gotten a class yet, you can get at least 50% off your classes, whether a CCW or advanced pistol class, on Cyber Monday. And then you can always sign up. I don't know if they're doing a gift certificate option. I don't know what Jess has set up on the website. So a little bit of clarity will be on there. You can also check our website for our ad. You just go to southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com. Mm-hmm.
And at the top will be a banner. You can click on the banner, and it'll show you kind of the offerings we have. But if you follow our sales, you know, we always do like a SIG sale, a Glock sale, a Smith & Wesson sale. It's the sale prices are brought back for this weekend, or for the Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Sunday weekend. Cool. Special orders are welcome. So if you come in, we're sold out of something, it's no big deal. We're glad to order it for you. We'll still give you that special pricing and all the perks that come with it. And then the big thing, too, is if you've got a first responder in your family and you want to get them a gun, consider Blue Label. You're going to have to have them come in and do the background check for it, but it's going to save you a tremendous amount of money by getting on the Blue Label program with Glock. So.
Very good. Good stuff. Again, southernarmory.com for all of that information. And, you know, you mentioned that laws changed, and, you know, especially so if you got your CCW, but it's been a few years, you should come up because maybe some things have changed. Even if laws don't change, even if there's no big update, it's a good idea to go up every couple of years, right, and take a class just to stay fresh.
My advice is when you renew, take a class.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's been 5 years, and in 5 years, you know, I've been carrying a pistol since I was 21. I just turned 34 Sunday. Mm-hmm. So last week. And, you know, in 13 years, I've seen the laws change and change back and then change again. And so, you know, and that's just, you know, from my perspective, but I've seen it probably 3 or 4 times in 12 years. So if you're taking a class every 5 years, you know, you're probably good. You know, if you're taking it every 3 to 4, it's probably even better because it seems like every 2 or 3 years we have some law changes.
Right, right. Wanted to follow up with you. We talked about this on the show last week. I also brought it up on a couple of shows on the radio station this week because I think that it is it's a funny, but it's also a very disappointing and almost scary story about you being banned from Facebook for the meme. The 6-year-old meme joke that you posted that said Republicans vote on Tuesday, Democrats vote on Wednesday, got you banned from Facebook. What's the update?
So Facebook is going to stand by it. I sent them a note. I said, this is a 6-year-old meme. And really, like, you know, 6 years and a few months. And they said, no, we don't really care.
That's
so
amazing.
You just enjoy your ban. So
so people understand, it was a picture of Barack Obama, right? And it said, and it was right before Election Day, which was last week. And it said, you know, remember, Election Day is coming. Republicans vote on Tuesday. Democrats vote on Wednesday. And they are saying that you were basically trying to influence the election, or you're spreading fake news or whatever. And so how long is the ban, and what did they, how did they, when they contacted you, what did they say? Like, how did they, like, what did they accuse you of?
They said that I violated their terms of service and I need to review it. No specific section. And, I said, what did I post? Cause, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I haven't, you know, cause they used to get me when I would post a gun. Whether it was my personal gun or one we had in the shop for sale.
That's what they got Austin Peterson for during the election, if you remember.
Yeah, exactly. And so they used to get me for that. Well, you know, I kind of just kept that exclusively on the Southern Armory page and never put pricing down. I just put, you know, just in, right, and would put a picture. And no pricing, not a this is for sale or whatever, because I'm figuring if you're following our Southern Armory Facebook, you see just arrived, then you know it's for sale. So, and that has been really successful in curving the bands. I mean, I can't remember the last time I had a band, honestly. So when this happened, I was like, what did I post? You know, I was really trying to figure it out. And then, you know, you log out and you log back in, and then it shows you a picture of what you did and tells you, you know, that was it. It was a very generic message. You violated our terms of service and you have a 30-day ban. And that's, so that's the personal messenger, that is Facebook, that is posting on pages that I manage. So I was able to go in and add my alternate account to manage those pages. I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah, good.
So you will see, you know, some stuff coming out with Second Amendment Radio. You'll still see stuff coming out with the Southern Armory page. But yeah, so we just got to wait out the 30 days.
Is it okay? Is it 30 days? I couldn't remember how long the ban was. And you know as well as I do that is a, I mean, like you said, that meme is famous. It was created when Barack Obama was president. It's 6 years old. And if you would have posted or somebody posts, you go around Facebook, you can see things like, you know, vote Democrat to stop this guy. And, you know, a picture of Donald Trump, you know,
right,
looking silly or something like that. You know, there's all kinds of that type of jokes and memes all around social media. But so it seems like, you know, they wouldn't get so uptight about something like this. But maybe because it's on the other side, if you will. I mean,
absolutely.
Do you think that has a lot to do with it?
I do. I really do. I think if it would have been a pro-Democrat meme, I think it would have been just fine. And then I had
or an anti-Trump meme, you know,
or an anti-Trump meme would have been perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
But you know, it's funny because I had mentioned this, and somebody says, well, I violated your First Amendment. I said, well, you know, that's all good and dandy, but Facebook's a privately held company.
Right.
Right. This is not the government.
No, it's
they
not.
They can do whatever they want. Yeah. And
it's not a First Amendment violation. It's just crap.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
just BS. Not a First Amendment violation, but they want to control their message and they have their agenda. And it is becoming more and more clear. I used to tell people, just, you know, listen, you know, like, you know, you know, promoting suicide is not something we want to do on Facebook. Okay. Like, let's just, you know, they have, you know, promoting, you know, heroin use and all this other stuff is not stuff that we want on Facebook. But, you know, when you look at Facebook, they're anti-Republican. Okay. And they are anti-cop.
Mm.
There are literally cop hate groups on there that I used to, I'm in that, the Blue Line supporters, the St. Louis group, among other groups that we support and we do raffles with, you know, and so I'm in their Facebook group. So, you know, if somebody has a question about the gun raffle, they can tag me and I'll answer it for them.
Right.
But, you know, I get in there and I kind of see what's going on. And somebody was in there and was like, hey, there's an anti, you know, police group. And they're calling for, you know, cops to get shot and killed. You know, hey, let's go report this Facebook group. And I remember reporting that Facebook group, and Facebook saying, sorry, it doesn't violate our terms of service.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Their freedom of speech. And I'm like, this is insane. But I'll get banned for 30 days because I post a gun for a legitimate transaction,
right,
business transaction.
Hey, Aaron, we gotta take a break. Yeah.
No worries.
Good news that that you are still able to update Southern Armory on Facebook, Second Amendment Radio on Facebook. So continue to go to those Facebook pages and get good information and ask questions. And that's what I want to do when we get back. We've been busy on this show for the last couple weeks, and we haven't gotten to as many questions as we usually do. And they've kind of been stacking up. So people have been sending questions to the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page and the Southern Armory Facebook page and my Twitter at TonyColombo971. So let's get to some of those questions. Aaron, I'll ask them. Aaron will answer them when we get back. Don't go anywhere. It's Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. Hello and welcome back to Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here in studio with Chad Ellis. Aaron Tarlow, the co-host of this fine program, the owner of Southern Armory, joins us on the phone. Aaron, before we get into these questions, I want to just remind folks that coming up a little bit later on in this show, in the next segment, I'm going to be talking to Chief Tim Lowry. He's the police chief of my hometown, Florissant, Missouri. He is also running for mayor of Florissant, so we'll talk to him about that. We'll get his thoughts on some police policing issues. I have some questions for him about policing. So don't go anywhere. Chief is a great guy. He's a fascinating guy to talk to. And that will be coming up in the next segment, so don't miss it. Right now, I wanted to get into some of these questions that people have been sending me. Again, you can always go to the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page. You can go to the Southern Armory Facebook page. And you can go to my Twitter, at Tony Colombo 971. Submit your questions, and we will try to answer all of them. Here is one that I got a little bit ago, but I think it comes up. It's perfect for today because you were mentioning earlier, Aaron, when you're teaching people in your classes there at Southern Armory, like one of the little things that you teach people is to not hold their hands out whenever they are pulling their weapon because, you know, somebody can grab
it. If they're close, yeah.
Yeah, because somebody can grab, yeah, if the person is close, you don't want to stick your gun out because then they can grab it. Somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, what are the rules of when you are allowed to draw your firearm and fire your gun? And I when you mentioned that somebody would grab at it, like if somebody's trying to disarm you, I would imagine that is definitely them crossing the line and you are able to fire. But what are the parameters there of when a person is allowed to draw and or fire their gun?
So let's start this with, if you're willing to draw your gun, you need to be willing to use your gun. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you're drawing it, you're drawing it with the intention of firing. Okay. Let's make that clear. If you're drawing it to intimidate, then it could be construed as brandishing your weapon in an angry or threatening manner in the presence of a person, one or more persons. Okay. So if you're willing to draw it, then you need to make sure that the reason you were drawing it is also a reason that you can fire it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So the question then boils down to is, what is the reason you can use a firearm or any weapon as under Missouri statutes, right? Because, you know, a baseball bat can be a weapon, a sword can be a weapon, a rifle or a pistol.
Yeah, a brick or a rock,
right,
could be a weapon.
Right, exactly. So, even a pocket knife. So mm-hmm. when can you use a weapon to defend yourself? And the answer to that, and I hate to be general and broad stroke, but it is very individualized, okay? So you have somebody who's 21 and runs track, right, and they're, you know, going to the Olympics or something, then the question is, can they run away? Okay, versus like my 93-year-old grandmother who's wheelchair bound, mm-hmm. can't run away. Okay, so you kind of see the two differences there. Mm-hmm. So you have a 21-year-old who has somebody walk up to him and says, "Hey, you know, give me your wallet," and shows them a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the person showing them the baseball bat saying, "Give me your wallet," is 400 pounds and can't run.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't the track star run away?
Right.
Can understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Versus now my 93-year-old grandmother in a wheelchair, 400-pound guy comes up and says, "Give me your purse."
She can't run.
She pulls out a gun and shoots him, right?
Mm-hmm.
She can't run away, right? So you got to understand there's a little bit of a judgment in there.
Yep.
You can even get into like, hey, the guy's an MMA fighter. Like, look at George Zimmerman, right? Why did George Zimmerman shoot Trayvon Martin? Well, George Zimmerman was in fear of serious bodily injury or death,
mm-hmm.
right? But then it came down to this was a physical altercation, mm-hmm. right? Trayvon was on top, hitting him, punching him, beating his head on a piece of concrete. But George took MMA classes, you know, mixed martial art classes, for those that may not be familiar with that term.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't George just fight off this 17-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can kind of look at, you know, the George Zimmerman case. You can look at the extreme case of, like, my grandmother in a wheelchair. Or you can look at the track star who could just, you know, run away, right? One of probably the fastest people on the face of the planet. So with all that being said, it is an individualized thing, and they look at it, you know, as the circumstances would be. And it really what we're getting at is, like, the reasonable man standard. I don't know if you're familiar with that term. Reasonable man standard is, what would a person like you do, what would a reasonable person do if the circumstances were similar or the same?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, does all that still come into account if the person's in your house? Like, if you can run out of your house, are you supposed to run out of your house, or you're able to, because of the castle doctrine and the stand your ground, you're able to protect your property, right?
Right. There's no duty to retreat.
Yeah.
And if you look in Missouri law, you'll never see, stand your ground or castle doctrine. It's a duty to retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And where that duty is at. And we have no duty to run away in Missouri from your house, which would be your car as well. So that's like where the castle doctrine kind of comes into effect. And then stand your ground, which is a media term used during the George Zimmerman versus state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So stand your ground is anywhere you're legally allowed to be.
What if I'm at work?
Yeah, you're legally allowed to be there. You're employed there.
Okay, got it.
So that would be it. Like if you're at the grocery store, and it's the grocery store you always go to, or you're at your bank getting money out of your ATM, it's the bank you bank at. So you have basically a legitimate purpose for being there. You don't need to run away. So now, what are the circumstances you can shoot somebody? There has to be a threat of serious bodily injury
mm-hmm.
or death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are your two.
If I'm walking down the street and I see somebody breaking into a car, I cannot pull out my gun and shoot them to stop them from committing that crime.
Right. So now you're talking about using a weapon in defense of property, which is just not permissible.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, okay, car, okay, fine. But what about my dog? It's like, nope.
Okay.
Somebody can be beaten on your dog and you can't shoot them, right? It's just not feasible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a dog is attacking your dog and you shoot that other dog, that's, more justifiable,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
The cops are going to look at some other stuff, but what we need to probably stay focused on here is you firearm in defense of yourself or another person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you get into then don't use it in defense of property, okay?
Right.
And don't get that confused with somebody breaking into your house, okay, while you're home.
Yeah, that's not defense of property. That's defense of your life.
Your life.
Yeah.
Right. And if you look at the Missouri state statutes, it cites forcible felonies. And I would highly encourage you to either look these up or come take a class with us, because we explain this a little bit more in detail than we are in a short segment. But forcible felonies would include murder. Okay, obviously you're taking a life.
Mm-hmm.
Robbery, right? Somebody's at the ATM saying, hey, give me your money,
mm-hmm.
or empty out your bank account, etc. And they're using something to persuade you, like a knife, a gun, a crowbar, a baseball bat. Then you have burglary, like that's when you're occupied home, right? You're occupied, you're in a home or a vehicle, essentially occupied, okay? You need to realize what Missouri considers a dwelling as well when you get into burglary, and they cite that as mobile or immobile, essentially lodge people overnight. So it could be your house, it could be your car, it could be a tent. They even cite a tent in the statutes. So, or conveyance thereof, right? So a car mm-hmm. with a rope tied between two trees would be a conveyance of a tent.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, we're kind of doing broad strokes here. So threat of serious bodily injury or death or forcible felony to you or somebody else, you can use a firearm to protect yourself.
So that's what it boils down to, is if you feel like your life is in danger, or your spouse's life or your kid's life is in danger.
It could be any third party, and that opens up a whole other bag of worms. The whole thing, what I tell people to do when it's a third party, if you're walking out of a store and you see two guys fighting in a parking lot, which one do you shoot?
Yeah.
Right? One of them's got a knife, one of them's got a baseball bat. Which one do you shoot? They both got weapons. The answer is you don't shoot either one of them.
Yeah, you leave that alone.
Yeah, you don't know who's the aggressor and who's the victim.
But if you see an innocent person that can't defend themselves, that you think is about to be seriously hurt or killed, then at that time you're allowed to step in.
Right. You could.
Yeah.
But with my scenario in the parking lot with two guys going at it, you're better off calling the cops, because the cops are certified to figure that stuff out.
Right.
Now, it's pretty obvious if you're in a convenience store getting gas, you walk out of the bathroom, the clerk is getting stabbed. That's a no-brainer.
Right.
The clerk doesn't want to get stabbed.
Right.
Now, the other facet to the defense of third person is that they would have to be justified in using such force.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you really don't know who they are,
It's hard. It's hard to determine that. Sure.
Yep. You're better off calling the cops.
Yep. Yep. So we could go on that question forever, but we're almost out of time. And I wanted to get to one more question. We only have about we only have about 2 minutes, so make this one quick. We did the hunting show a couple weeks ago when we had Tim Shelsvik, the host of the Thinking Woodsman podcast, the 100% Wild podcast, in here, and that was a big that went really well. The audience really responded to that. This question was actually asked last week, and that's why I don't want to put it off anymore. Somebody asked if you guys carry products for hunters and outdoors people at Southern Armory. Or is Southern Armory more for home defense and personal protection stuff? 60 seconds, go.
60 seconds. We do carry rifles, the appropriate ammo to hunt, whatever that might be. We carry optics. We also carry, like, the bipods, like, that you can actually put in, like, your backpack. We have backpacks if you want backpacks. We definitely have stuff for sportsmen. Right down.
That's a big yes, yeah.
Yeah. Right down to the seasonings. For you to season the meat after you bring home the kill.
Wow, there you go.
The answer is yes. And whatever we don't have, we're happy to special order. So if it's a deer blind and you saw it, you liked it, you've got the product number, we'll order it for you. We have no problem doing that.
That's cool.
It's just we don't have all the room that some of these big box stores have to set up a blind.
Right.
And have all the different models or ladder stands, et cetera. But we definitely have access to all that stuff. We're more than happy to arrange it to be shipped directly to your house so you don't have to come get it and carry it home. And if it's one of the wholesalers right here close to us within an hour, we'll go and pick it up.
Yeah, that's why Southern Armory is the best. Learn more at southernarmory.com. We've got to wrap this up. Aaron, we will talk to you next week. Thanks you so much for taking time to call in. Hopefully we get you back in here in the studio next week. But I understand when you're the masked vigilante out there serving justice in the dark of night, you're a busy man. So we will take another quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk to Tim Lowry, the chief of police of Florissant. He's also running for mayor of Florissant. We'll catch up with Chief Lowry next. Don't go anywhere. It's Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. All right. Hello and welcome back to Second Amendment Radio here on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo in studio with producer Chad Ellis. Aaron Tarlow has been joining us throughout this show from another remote location. He keeps on moving around the country, trying to stay off the radar, stay off the grid, but he continues to check in with this program as he goes about his travels. Aaron will be back, of course, next week. And as we spoke about earlier in the show, right now, joining us on the phone is the chief of police of my hometown, Florissant, Missouri. The chief of police and mayoral candidate, Chief Tim Lowry, joins us right now. Chief, how are you?
Doing great. Having a great afternoon. What about you, Tony?
Yeah, I can't complain. Great to talk to you. Great to talk to you again. Just saw you the other day at our Veterans Celebration up there in Florissant. Here at the radio station, we have been participating in Veterans Day parades and ceremonies for years. And we have gone around to different areas, different cities, different municipalities in the St. Louis metro area that hold Veterans Day parades and celebrations. We started with the downtown parade. We did that for several years. We moved around to a couple of other cities around town. And a few years ago, we did our first one in Florissant, and we have done that every year since because Florissant turns out better than any other community that we have seen with these Veterans Day parades. The turnout on last Sunday was incredible. The ceremony afterwards was incredible. And it really says a lot about our community up there in Florissant, don't you think, Chief?
No, I 100% agree. I think that our Veterans Day celebration in the St. Louis area is second to none. Certainly appreciate you guys participating. I mean, we had yourself. Of course, we had Mark Cox, mm-hmm. Andy Fry, Dave Glover, Mark Close. I mean, they participated. We're just happy that they were involved, as you were. Kathy and Paige from the station did an awesome job in coordinating the event with our coalition.
Yeah.
And it's just really an honor and a privilege for me to even sit on that coalition. I'm personally not a veteran myself, but the coalition meets at my office once a month. And they made me an honorary veteran, which I honestly take that to heart. That means a lot to me.
That's cool.
And so it was a great celebration, and we're able to honor our veterans. Of course, we have our Veteran of the Year every year.
Yeah.
And you're so gracious that you MC our event. I couldn't ask any more for what you guys do. You guys definitely have enhanced our Veterans Day Parade and celebration. So I really appreciate that from you guys.
And our
community obviously comes out in great numbers.
Yeah.
For the event. So thank you very much for being there.
No, thanks for having us. And it really is a two-way street. I'm not exaggerating in any way when I talk about, you know, we went around, we tried, you know, doing different parades. We had an idea at one point that we would sort of rotate the way that we do the Veterans Day celebration, you know, as a radio station, that we would, you know, one year we would go to, you know, this town, one year we would go downtown, then one year we'd go back to Florissant, and then just kind of keep a rotation going. But the sad truth is that a lot of places that have these Veterans Day parades, the public, the community doesn't turn out. The downtown one especially is really sad. I mean, you're going down empty streets, but not the case in Florissant. So, I mean, that's, you know, as much as you appreciate us being out there, we appreciate the community finding a town, an area that we can come to that really celebrates these veterans like they should be celebrated. So you guys do a great job with that. And I think, you know, just to kind of move the conversation along a little bit, that is a perfect example of what the community of Florissant is all about. I mean, you're running for mayor. We'll get into that a little bit. You've been police chief for years. Your family, with your dad being also police chief and mayor of Florissant, you know, you've been up there a long time. Your family is a big part of that community, and I think that sometimes the area gets a bad rap, and all they need to do is come out to an event like Veterans Day, and they will see that Florissant maybe isn't what some have an opinion of it to be. Would you agree with that, and talk about the community a little bit?
Sure, I agree 100%. I mean, we have so many great events that bring people out. I mean, in May, we have the Valley of Flowers. We have a wonderful fall festival. We have, you know, the city itself has 27 parks, 2 community centers, and constantly we're hosting different events. During the summer, we have a concert series at St. Ferdinand Park that brings out hundreds of people for a Saturday evening. It's a great event, well-attended. We have a really nice 9/11 ceremony that's put on at the VFW post also, which is very, very well attended. I mean, the city of Florissant, like you said, I mean, we do get a bad rap in some ways, but it's not fair because we have a wonderful community. We have a very tight community, and people really enjoy coming out and spending time together. And we have another thing on St. Francis Street. The Old Town Partners puts together the Wednesday night out events during the summer, which are always extremely well attended. I mean, so if people, like you said, people think Florissant's bad, they need to come to one of our events and see what our community is all about, because we're very proud of it. We spend a lot of time promoting our city. And like you said, you're a resident. I'm a resident. I have no intentions of moving out of the city. It's a beautiful place to be and so many great people. And certainly we're a faith-based community with many churches. And so, I mean, we take a lot of pride in our city and what we do. And certainly take a lot of pride in our veterans. I mean, and that's why we want to make sure that we have a good event to honor those who serve. And we have a lot of veterans in our city. And so I just take a lot of pride in what we do and to promote our city and to put it forward. So, and like I said, I couldn't be more proud of it. And all the events we do, we have great young families in our town. We got a very strong senior group that we have a lot of good events for our seniors. I mean, We do a lot for a lot. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We have good youth for the program. So, no, I could go on and on and talk about how great the city honestly is. Just like to see if you got a bad opinion about sports and come to one of our events, I think you'll change your opinion.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I'll give you one more question to give you an opportunity to brag a little bit more. Why is it, you know, we've unfortunately seen, and we all know, and I know you know, and I have friends, you know, that have moved out of the area over the years. What is it about Florissant that has kept you there, has kept your family there, and has kept you wanting to continue to serve the community as, you know, police chief as you are now, and possibly mayor next year?
Well, you know, my father used to say this a lot, and I agree with it. I mean, honestly, I think it comes down to one thing. I just love Florissant. I love being in North County. I love North County. you know, when I was young, I mean, it was instilled upon me and as my whole family by my mother and father to serve our community. And I feel that, you know, with Mayor Snyder now announcing his retirement, and that I'm the best person for the job. Honestly, I feel that I'm the best person. I got good leadership qualities. I'm a leader in law enforcement here, not just St. Louis area. The president was very police chiefs, and I just got done serving a term on the board of the International Association of Chiefs of Police. So I've sat a lot of leadership roles. So I know how to manage people. I've got, you know, as far as the city is concerned, the police department is one third of the city's budget. So I know how to manage people. I know what I believe the city wants. I just got done having a couple of listening sessions where I listened to the citizens and just sat back and listened to what they thought our concerns were and what they wanted to see the city move forward. And so I'm going to adopt those as my principles when I actually lay my platform out. And which those sessions were very well attended. I was glad I did that and just able to sit down with the residents and talk and find out where. You know, this isn't from Tim Lowry. This is from the city's, from our residents and what they believe is important.
Yeah.
So they had great turnouts and really some good ideas that came out of those sessions. So, like I said, other than the fact that I just think at the end of the day, I'm the right guy for this position. And I appreciate all the support that I'm already seeing from my residents, my business owners, and campaign's going well already.
Well, you certainly got my vote, Chief. We're talking to Florissant Police Chief Tim Lowry. He's also running for mayor. That election will happen next year. Chief, before we let you go, I wanted to get a couple of your thoughts because you just mentioned you are not just the police chief of Florissant, which is enough, which is definitely a full-time job, but also the president of the Missouri State Police Chiefs Association. So before we let you go, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on a couple of general policing questions. You know, you hear all the time people talking about professions like school teachers being underpaid for what they do, which I completely agree with. But I think, my opinion, I want to get yours too, that police are probably at the top of that list. I think police officers should be better paid. I think the department should be given more resources. Do you think that funding is a problem when it comes to police officers being able to do their jobs? And do you think that, you know, the funding is may also keep good people from becoming cops because, you know, the pay isn't worth the risk? What can be done to better fund these police departments, or do you think they are properly funded? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that we could always use more funding than policing. There's no doubt about it. More resources available to our officers. But I will say this, and give the community in St. Louis County credit, is that last year, 2 years ago, we passed the Prop P, which gave a lot of money to the police departments, gave us a lot of more resources than we had. So very happy that that happened. And but we could always use, obviously, we could always use more resources. We could always pay our officers better. But I will say this, is that certainly has helped.
Yeah.
Prop P helped my retention of my officers. Lost very few officers this year, where like in 2015, I lost like 18 officers to either retirements or guys just getting out of law enforcement because of the pay. But it certainly has gotten better.
That's great.
But I think there's always ways that we can improve. But no, I appreciate, obviously, one thing I always do appreciate is your support and the community support for the police department.
No, for sure.
And policing.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Florissant Police Department is just fantastic. You do a great job. One more question. Considering today's atmosphere, you know, it's I'm sure policing is a lot different today than it was 10 years ago, say 5 years ago even. What is your opinion on body cams and dash cams and just full on transparency when it comes to police action these days?
That's actually a great question. We're in the process right now of getting dash cams for all of our uniform vehicles. And, you know, honestly, you know, I've been in law enforcement 30-something years, 32 years now, and I never had a camera on me. And so I was kind of on the fence on it until I actually sat down with my officers and asked them what their opinion was. And I can tell you that all the officers, to a man, said that they want body cameras. They want cameras because they're getting filmed every day.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's just a front of a grocery store or people filming them, they want to have their side of the story showing. So.
Yeah.
The police officers are 100% on board, and based on my conversation with my officers, I'm 100% on board with them now. I think they're a good idea, and I think that what we've seen is that some of the complaints that we were seeing in the past are going to drop, as other departments have seen, just based on the fact that, you know, our officers are professional. They are doing their job properly.
Yeah.
So I think that we'll be able to show that.
That's good. Yeah, exactly. I like the idea of dash cams and body cams because it does. It gives the officers a chance to show and, you know, prove exactly how a situation went down, and it doesn't rely on a, you know, a he said, she said, or, you know, they said and we said kind of story. Thanks for your time today. We've been talking with Chief Tim Lowry. He's the police chief of my hometown, Florissant, Missouri. He's also running for mayor. Chief, do you have any social media set up? Do you have a website or anything that people can go and learn more about you and your candidacy and about the city, anything like that, or are we still a little too early for that stuff?
No, I've had social media out there for a while. I do have a Facebook page. I mean, please ask me for a friend request, and I'll certainly friend you.
Yes.
And if you want to get on my or look at my website, go to LowryForMayor.com.
Awesome, LowryForMayor.com. We'll check it out. Chief Tim Lowry, thanks so much for your time today.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. All right. Great stuff there from Police Chief of Florissant, Tim Lowry, and wish him luck in his run for mayor. I'm sure we'll have him back on the show soon. That is going to wrap up another edition of Second Amendment Radio for my partner, Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Don't forget, you can go to southernarmory.com. That's southernarmory.com to learn all about that fine establishment. And Aaron will be back, of course, in studio next week. So for Aaron Tarlow and producer Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio. We'll see you back here next Saturday at 3 p.m. on FM News Talk 97.1. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.